Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. How are you? Happy Monday, the week before Hanukkah and Christmas. The greatest time of the year, right? Right? It's also, 20-some days countdown until Trump is sworn in? Fuck. That's how I'm living my life. I'm like, yo, we got 20 days left of fun living, you know? Live it up to the max, because who knows what's going to happen. That's why we need comedy. That's why we need to laugh. That's why we've got brand new episodes of the About Last Night podcast coming to you guys all throughout the rest of 2016, including two best of episodes, which we're putting together right now, which are going to be so unbelievable. Just some of these guests we've had over the last 12 months and some of these moments, from Marc Maron to Jason Derulo to Melissa McCarthy and Nick Swartzen and Dave Attell. It's so fun to go back and relive some of these episodes. And it's going to be a great best of two-parter, so be on the lookout for that in the next coming weeks. Speaking of great episodes, today's episode is a guest I've been wanting to have on for a long time. I've known this guy since we started comedy. He's been on SNL. He's now one of the new voices on the animated show version of the movie Big Hero 6. You see him on Comedy Central. Him and I did Adam Devine's House Party with Pete Davidson in the first season. His new stand-up album, This Is Cool, Right, is on iTunes right now, which you should go get. He's hilarious. He's insightful. He's an adventurous man, and he brought it today. I'm talking about Brooks Whelan, baby. Brooks Whelan. Brooks touches on everything in this episode, from his love for nature and camping and photography to his SNL experience, which, you know, I didn't know if we'd get into because it, you know, it's kind of a sensitive subject as the roller coaster ride it was for him, but he's had enough distance from it to really have some awesome perspective and shared both the good times and the bad times with us. And it's really, really interesting, and man, it just really makes you put things in perspective in this business, because Brooks is in a good place right now, but he's had his ups and downs, just like all of us in this business, and he was definitely very candid about it, which is always great for listeners, you know, to, you know, apply to your own life. Everyone's going through shit, man, and Brooks, he really breaks it down. He's hilarious. If you can see him live, go see his stand-up. He's one of my favorite comics to watch. Just, you know, absurd, poignant, hilarious, and always fun. So go see Brooks live if you get a chance. Of course, check him out in the animated show Big Hero 6, which I think comes out on Disney XD in the spring, I want to say, or maybe it's the summer. I'm sure they'll post about that. And of course, follow Brooks on Twitter at Brooks Whelan. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad at Funny Brad, the podcast at ALN Podcast, at Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, at Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, at ALN Podcast on Instagram. Storymerchandise.com for all your ALN merch. Get your hats, shirts, mugs, and posters for the holidays and bring them to the shows. We'll sign them and make great holiday gifts. Stocking stuffers. Get those Titanic mugs. Get those posters. Get those ALN shirts. Put them in your stockings or your friend's stockings, or just put them in a sock and put them in someone's yard and give. Okay, I don't know. I don't know. How does Christmas work? How do you give gifts for that holiday? I do the other one. StoryMerchandise.com. That's all your ALN merch needs. Get it. Make somebody's dream come true for the holidays, okay? Make it a good end to 2016. Speaking of live shows, I'm so pumped. This Friday, 7 p.m., the Columbia City Theater in downtown Seattle. One show only. I'm headlining, bringing my buddy Sandy Danto and Avery Pearson. We've got some really fun surprises planned, some musical stuff that we've been working on for a while. It's going to be dope. Your tickets are available at AdamRayTV.com or TicketFly.com. December 23rd, this Friday, 7 p.m., one show only, Columbia City Theater. Come see me. Headline. Very pumped about that. Brad Williams on Friday will be at the Irvine Improv for two shows, 7:30 and 9:45. Get your tickets at improv.com. And I think that's about it. Like we said, so many great episodes for the rest of 2016 and right into 2017, including those best ofs. So make sure you subscribe. Tell a friend before the end of the new year. Say, listen to the About Last Night podcast. Subscribe to it. You're going to love it. These best ofs are coming out. That's a great way to introduce somebody to the pod. And we just are so pumped on the year we've had, and appreciate all the love and the support and the listener viewership. You guys have just, you know, making it so fun for us to do this. So thanks again. And I think that's it. So now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles. That's the merch info. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny Brooks Whelan.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
There it is. This is a really nice setup you guys have.
Thanks, man. These are new mics.
These are brand new mics?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it looks...
They're pretty much virgin to your mouth, which...
Yeah, you can just like...
I have been giving it a blowjob.
They do... I mean, that's... They do tell you in some... on some mic situations to like hug the mic. And you do feel like you're like... I'm like, are they
really
fucking with
me? Really get up on there.
Yeah, really. Just put your mouth around it. Just really...
Slowly.
Some comedian, I don't remember who, he would like always... He had a joke where he'd put the whole microphone in his mouth, and I'd be like, no.
Well, Bobby Lee's done that before.
Yeah.
It's gross. You don't think about the sanitary.
Yeah, it's the grossest thing in the world.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because then not only are you putting a microphone in your mouth that has been rubbed on comedians' balls, asses.
And everybody spits when they talk.
Yeah, spat onto it, and now you're just flat out putting it in your mouth. Like, you're essentially given... Like, when you do it at the Comedy Store, you're giving 12 guys and a dude a blowjob. Like, that's just what you're doing.
And uncomfortable.
Because we're comics, I'm sure it's more than the average rate of 1 in 4 have an STD. So,
jeez Louise.
And good night, everybody.
By the way, jeez Louise is one of my favorite sayings.
Oh, really?
It's not said enough. And you strike me as a guy that's got a handful of those in his...
Oh, I was saying geez Louise.
What else do you got in there?
I don't know.
What other Looney Tune catchphrases do you have?
I don't know. Dag nabbit. I say gosh dang it a lot.
Do you say...
Rascally Rabbit?
Cheese and crackers?
No, I would say Jesus Christ over that.
I mean, he is the Lord.
I do say geez Louise. I found this out. I do...
By the way, what did Louise do that she got so much... That she got tagged with that?
She rhymed with geez.
Yeah, but what did she do? Did she, like, you know, eat the last piece of pie? And her husband was like, geez, Louise. And
I don't know what it is. I just know you can't say it on a Disney cartoon, because I was improvising what my character was saying. And he goes, geez, Louise. And they're like, oh, you can't, because people might think it's Jesus. And I was like, oh, okay.
Wow,
dude.
Disney's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, the mouse is like, yeah, they don't want to. Yeah.
There was a.
Well, don't offend anybody.
Yeah. There was a commercial that aired like last year or maybe the year before where. I don't know what the ad was for, but somewhere in the ad, a woman, instead of saying, shut the fuck up, said, shut the front door. And she said that. And that commercial got hate mail. It's like, we know what you're doing. It's like, who does? You? The adult?
The GoDaddy.com guy. Like, his commercials are him murdering elephants. And then he goes, go to my website. Like, and everyone's like,
Yeah, you're like, all right.
I'll check out his website.
Sounds good. I mean, sure, there's one less elephant, but sacrifice need to be made to have a good domain name.
That guy is brutal. You can look it up. He made a clearly edited himself where he goes on an elephant hunt to like AC/DC's Back in Black. You can look it up online. It is just GoDaddy.com monster. Just type. It's him killing an elephant and like. Just like Back in Black, and he's like, I saved this fucking village from this elephant that was terrorizing them. And I'm like, I don't think
it was.
No way, dude.
I've seen Dumbo. They seem pretty friendly.
Yeah,
that movie was based on a true story.
Exactly. Everyone knows that.
Well, it was based on elephants being brutalized.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, I'm not by any means like a huge animal rights guy. Like, I'm like, yeah, eat meat, whatever. Like, I'm not.
Sure.
But I'm not like that, but. And,
well, you were raised by wolves.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, all dwarves are.
And they were mean to you.
Yeah.
So that's why you're like, fuck it, kill them.
All dwarves are 1/4 wolf. That's how a dwarf is made. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't.
A regular dude has sex with a wolf, and then, you know, out pops.
That's why you're so hairy.
Yep.
Whoa. I thought that would be more well known.
That seems like a more common fact we should have some familiarity with.
I think they did a brief story about it on 60 Minutes, but it was like
that would spread like wildfire.
Yeah, it was like on one of those tail ends. It was back when Andy Rooney was in the end going,
why do men have sex with wolves?
Yeah. And then he goes, Kurt Cobain was a bitch. God, Mickey Rooney sucks so bad.
I know.
What's with these kids killing themselves? I don't know, depression, man?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks
world,
sometimes.
The world gets tough.
Yeah. Oh, what an asshole.
But yeah, like I said, like, and I actually like guys that hunt and then eat what they kill, because I'm like, sure. that's pure. That's like, that's the most purest form of you. Like, it's,
yeah.
You can't get mad at them and then go eat a steak from the supermarket. Like,
no, I grew up in Iowa. I'm not against hunting. I'm against killing things that there's like 40 of.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to pay a lot of money to go over to Africa. Also, this is bullshit. Like, all of these, like, oh, fucking, I'm, like, a big, the people who go and hunt big game in Africa and they say I'm important to their tourism is complete bullshit, because they account for, like, 0.4% of the tourism, where, like, 8% of, like, revenue coming in is people flying there to fucking look at those animals.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, more people go there just to look at them than go there and pay money to fucking shoot them.
They
and
always
also,
try
they,
to...
The money goes to the government, and a lot of those governments aren't really...
Not the best.
Yeah, they kind of pocket a lot of the money. So it's like a real bullshit way. Like, oh, I'm killing it. I'm helping the society. Like, no, if you have more of them, more people will come look at them. And then they contribute to the society. I get steamed about that one.
Yeah, you do. And you're I don't want to say like a nature guy, but damn,
I'd say you're a nature guy.
Look at your Instagram.
Yeah, I like
my
camping.
God.
I just camp. Yeah, I'm a huge nature guy.
Yeah.
Like a conservationist, or whatever it is. I don't know. I just like national parks, and climate change terrifies me and all that shit.
In the last few months on your Instagram, you've had Yosemite, you have had Monument Park.
Oh, yeah, I've gone on. I've
Grand Canyon.
I've gone to like, but I've been on, I guess, I just go on trips all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I took, when I get sad, I go on trips. That way I don't just drink beer in L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'll go drink beer in Zion National Park.
Way cooler. You probably feel better about it, too.
I feel great about
now,
it.
Now, what is it about that whole environment that appealed to you? I mean, was it out of a dark time and you were like, all right, let me go find some tranquility somewhere?
Well, really what it was for me and, like, traveling and why I love traveling so much is I never did it, ever. I grew up in Iowa, never really left Iowa. And then when I was 26, I met this girl who I dated just for, like, a month. She was like a Trustafarian. Trustafarian is a rich kid hippie.
Oh.
Yeah. Like a real, she was like, we have a place on Maui. We should go to it. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I'd met her.
My arm.
Yeah, I'd met her outside like a liquor store parking lot. So so we went.
Where all good love stories begin.
Yeah, exactly. We went, and then we went there. And I was like, holy shit. And then she's like, I brought acid. I was like, what? You really are a rich, beautiful girl. Because, like, rich girls, they will just smuggle drugs anywhere. Because they're like, what? I didn't know. You're like,
And then a lot of them probably feel like there's no consequences.
Yeah,
like,
rich and beautiful. I'll pay my way out of this, or I'll pretty my way out of this.
What would have happened is I would be like, the acid was mine.
Yeah.
Like, and then I'm stuck in Maui,
right.
Like in jail. But then it blew my mind. I was like, I got to see the world, man. Mm-hmm. So then I've just been like doing that ever since then.
Hey, do you have a favorite destination?
Switzerland. Like, my top three are like Switzerland, and then Yosemite is up there, and then just like Kauai is dope.
Yeah. Just that whole
track. Kauai is just one of the most serene places on Earth. I mean, you really can't get around the jungle aspect, the beach, the water, it seems fake.
I fucked up so bad. I got engaged in Kauai to a real, not a good person. And so then that didn't go down. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like...
But you were still in Hawaii.
No, like...
Oh, but now it's kind of ruined it for
now
you.
Now I'm like, I can't go back to Kauai because I'll think of that nightmare relationship.
Oh, well, there's other islands.
There are other islands.
Maui?
You're right.
And By the way, that's why I can't listen to the Lion King soundtrack, because my sixth grade girlfriend broke up to me while I was listening to it. And like Elton John, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? As far as I'm concerned, is the worst song I've ever heard.
Yeah. Kauai sucks. You make terrible decisions while you're there.
I think yours outdoes ours. Mine is the song Mr. Brightside by The Killers. Because if you ever got your heart broken, do not listen to that song.
Why?
The lyrics of it are just horrible if you're going through that. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, I stay away from music when I'm like going through a breakup.
Because everything's about love.
Yeah, every song as I was like, you just are like, how many relationships are these fucking dudes?
It's like, aren't they just like banging groupies on the road? They gotta like talk about deep shit in their songs, but then I guess they talk about deep shit in their songs so they could bang more groupies on the road.
Yeah.
Do you ever get material from some of these spots? Like when you're at the Grand Canyon, do you have...
No, I don't really have a ton of material about camping because it's just kind of like a little braggy. Like, oh, I was in... I mean, that's not true. I took mushrooms in Yosemite last weekend, and I have a whole new bit about that, about how I got really nervous. I took shrooms and started tripping with my girlfriend, and she was real chill. She's the coolest, and she just like is very mellow and like... could like lay on the ground and just like listen to music, and I'm like, like, and I had
why do you get so anxious?
I don't know. I was like, I don't know am I an artist? And then I was like, I think so.
Were you having like weird shroomy thoughts? Like, I hope all these ants have a place to go for the holidays.
No, I was just like, I was just worried I was bad at stand up, so I decided to YouTube myself and I watched them
on mushrooms.
On mushrooms, and the saddest part was I fucking loved it. Like, I thought I was so funny.
What's wrong with that?
It was great.
That's fine.
Like, there's an amount of clarity that I've experienced on mushrooms that I think is invaluable, and I almost feel like everyone should do it because of that. Like,
I loved mushrooms are the one thing, like a one drug where like you wake up in the morning and you're not like, oh, you're just a little more enlightened.
You remember some sort of these enlightening things. Like, I was going through a breakup from my college girlfriend the first time I did it, and it was like, she was end of high school and then a little bit of college. And it was like, dude, I was so broken up over it. And literally during this, sitting in like these woods area of Will Rogers State Park here in Los Angeles. And I'm sitting there like listening to Dave Matthews Band before these crowded streets. And there was some instrumental, and I look up and like the sun was like coming through like the trees in a certain way to where like just in a moment I was like, and I'm over it.
Oh, that's great.
It was kind of incredible.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
And then I started talking to a Daddy Long Legs about who he thought was going to win the Super Bowl. And then I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm fucked up.
And back to fucked up.
One time I was on mushrooms and I was in a cabin up in upstate New York, and I put on the World Series, and I was tripping on shrooms, and then I was like, why do I care about this? Yeah. Like, these are just children playing a game. And I was like, what are you doing? And I turned off the TV and went and looked at a lake for 2 hours, and there then when the shrooms wore off, I was like, well, I gotta see who won the game.
There you go, back to reality.
Yeah, back to reality.
Now you're good. Now men playing a game matters again.
Okay, I'm back. I don't know, that was, what a bozo, didn't care about the World Series for a second?
That is dope that you're able to get some material from that.
Well, I mean, I don't get, it's not a lot of material,
right?
From it,
where do you get most of your, like, what's your writing process?
Just stuff I've done, just dumb shit I've done. I talk a lot about, I don't know, growing up.
They say live a life worth writing about, and you definitely are doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always making just the worst decisions, and I just talk about it on stage, just about breakups right now, I guess.
Yeah, because that's what's fresh.
Well, it's not that fresh. I mean.
But I mean, like in your heart still. Like, you remember, you can tap into it.
Oh, yeah. You can be very vulnerable. Just like, I just dumb shit I did afterwards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just like trying too hard. I don't, like, it's just about my life. Like, I feel like after I get off stage, you know, like, exactly how I feel at that moment.
Yeah.
And those are my favorite types of comics. I love a comic that when they get off stage, you're like, oh, I know kind of who they are.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, while there's certainly a place for just the one-liners that don't make sense or that don't go together to build anything, there's certainly that place in stand-up.
Yeah,
it's not what I prefer personally.
I can go too far, though. Like, I was on tour when I found out my fiance was like leaving me, and I was like, it was so such a bummer that like I still had to do the shows, and I was like,
how do you do that?
Oh, not well. afterwards, like, people came up and they're like, that was more art than stand-up. I was like, that's not ideal.
When
you started stabbing and pissing on the picture of that girl.
Yeah. No, it was just, I was just like, I opened a few shows with, I don't want to be here. And then I'm headlining like on a tour.
And someone's paid 20 bucks to
like,
see
you're
you.
One of my favorite comics. Well, I don't want to see you sad. I'm like, well, I'm sad.
kind of incredible though to have that's what it is kind of great about stand up is that like, what other job do you have to like, you have an outlet to kind of express exactly what you're going through.
Yeah. Immediately go talk about it. It's cathartic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Super cathartic. I've got great material on it now. And
you can
all
pull
that
up closer. If you want to sit up, you can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, feel, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, like the day I got fired off SNL, I like rode my bike to UCB in New York and was like, can I go on stage? And they were like, yeah. And I just did like 20 minutes about getting fired from the show. And I was like, I feel way better.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. That's why stand-up's great.
Yeah, because, I mean, it gives you that outlet. I've told the story in the podcast before, so I'll be brief. But, yeah, I found out that my dad... I got the phone call that my dad beat cancer as they were announcing me on stage at the Comedy Works in Denver.
That's great.
So it was like, oh, God, like this crazy rush of emotion. And then, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Brad. We're like, all right, well, I guess I got to talk about this.
Yeah.
And what I did that night eventually became a special. Like, pretty much became an entire special. So,
by the way, I've never commented on like how great that was that you found out right before, but like, it is great that it came from like a like what if for some fucked up reason like you were about to go on stage and the family called your family called the club first and then they told you and they're like, well, we don't want to tell him he's about to go on.
Yeah.
But then the DJ was like, you know what, I'm gonna tell him through his intro. You guys ready for your headliner? His dad just beat cancer. Give it up for Brad Williams.
You're like, wait, what? What happened? Wait, what's that?
I would like to talk to the announcer for a second. We can have get into this. Yeah.
If we could have a brief word, the feature could do a little bit more time.
Man.
Now, yeah, there is just that immediacy of it. Of I just went through this. I'm just gonna say this, and I'm going to get a reaction from you.
Yeah, it's great.
And
good or bad,
it's. I hope it's funny. I hope you laugh at it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Either way, there's going to be a pure reaction.
There was probably like 3 months where the material wasn't funny, and it was just like, whoa. But now it's like I've made it to where it's not like there's no malice. It's just funny.
Your material about growing up in Iowa is some of my favorite stuff
out
there.
Well, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a weird place to grow up. But
I mean, I recently read a tweet that you said that you want that there to make a 30 for 30 on
Iowa wrestling.
Iowa wrestling.
This is when I was watching a 30. This was up in Yosemite when my girlfriend went to bed. I was like up in... 30 for 30 on the U was on.
Yeah.
And I'd been drinking beers. And
one of the best ones.
Like, that's like one of those, like, I'll tweet not jokes when I'm drunk. I'm just like, this needs to happen. And I was just like drunk and my girlfriend was sleeping. And I'm like, why don't they do a 30 for 30 on Iowa wrestling in the 80s and early 90s? Because, like, that's when I grew up and they were badasses. They won like 9 national titles in a row.
Now, was that a big deal in your town?
Like, it's a big deal in the wrestling community. I mean, they won 9 NCAA championships in a row.
That's a lot.
And yeah.
And like, that's the Hawkeyes, right?
Yeah, the Iowa Hawkeyes. They were just unstoppable in the late 80s and up until like 95. I mean, they're still always the top three team. I just love Iowa wrestling so much. And like they were like how the U was cocky. Like it was, they were that version, but for wrestling.
Did like, did they come out through smoke or something? Like
no,
the same
they
kind
just
of thing,
were like
they, just
they were just like cocky as shit.
Celebrating.
Yeah, like, if you know you can take somebody down, you're going to have a certain amount of confidence
but there
and
was,
swagger.
No, but there was like guys who if they like beat you, but they didn't feel like they beat you by enough, they wouldn't shake your hand afterwards. Like that sort of, they
and,
just like,
and that's sort of like the thing. And cause I wrestled in high school and that's a huge thing is the handshake afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. And they put a number, they put a Roman numeral 10 on their singlet, their jersey or whatever.
Yeah.
For their 10th title. And they lost that year.
Oh
yeah. So, I mean, it's like,
wow.
It's like a real, they were cocky as fuck and they were just like drunk and like probably the only school in the nation where they're more popular than the basketball team.
Yeah.
So it was just like
it's funny how certain schools have like different emphasis. Like more in New England, you have an emphasis on sports like lacrosse and stuff like that. Where we out here on the West Coast, just like all right,
yeah, exactly.
That's a thing, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I don't really have any jokes about camping or wrestling because there's like
is it like too close to you?
No, it's not too close to me. It's just like a thing. Everyone's like, well, I don't do that, you know. Not like people like. Camp as much or grew up wrestling.
Right. Now, did you ever try to do wrestling because you saw how great these guys were?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I grew up wrestling. That was my whole my whole dream was to wrestle at the University of Iowa and be like a national champ. Like, I remember I grew up Catholic and I would like pray to be an NCAA champ because I thought I might need help with God for that one. But it was an automatic. I would be a state champ.
Oh,
like,
sure.
That's how I felt. I was like, well, that I know I've got on my own. But I might need a little help from God to be an NCAA that's champion.
Amazing. I wonder if God's just up there like, you know, we got world peace and hunger and things like that that I could help with. Like,
no,
you'll
I'd
get
like to
that.
Be an NCAA champion, please.
Yeah. You'll get to that eventually.
Yeah.
But for right now.
Yeah, no, I grew up wrestling. I love wrestling. Both my brothers wrestled. They were really good.
Well, I mean, and one of the reasons I did it is it's in my opinion, the purest form of sport.
Just, yeah, I mean.
You're a person. Let's go.
Well, have you killed an elephant?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm a big elephant.
That's the purest form of.
I think
a fair fight.
I think it would be. Yeah. I think if you put a machine gun on an elephant, now it's a fair fight. Like, if that elephant's just running around with a machine gun.
Can you
going.
Imagine? Hey, well, Trump America, who knows, you know? Some of these ideas that sound crazy aren't crazy anymore.
No, we have no idea what's going to happen. That's what I do like about Trump winning is that we're going to see the limits that a president, like what the checks and balances really are. Yeah. Like he's going to take
and
it
like,
to the limit.
How much a party will really back their candidate?
Oh, no, also like we're going to find out about aliens for sure.
Oh,
like,
real quick.
Cuz this might be
the time for them to come down.
No, I'm saying if he like gets impeached or loses the next election, he's going to be like, "Oh yeah, you're going to fire me? Well, I'll tell everybody."
Here's what happened to Kennedy. I do the firing. I don't get fired.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It. I'm going to get the aliens together finally.
CIA killed Kennedy. Everyone knows it.
Yeah,
it's just out there.
You guys have some great Trump impressions.
We've known about aliens.
CIA killed Tupac 40 years.
The
CIA was behind the Nancy Kerrigan clubbing.
when she clubbed the seals.
Yeah.
Nancy Kerrigan clubbed seals.
Wait, I thought it was Tonya Harding.
That's what you don't know.
Nancy Kerrigan
distraction.
Hated seals.
God, I'm so bummed about the Trump impressionists that are going to come out of the woodwork for that.
A lot.
Remember how annoying Bush impressionists were, and now you can't do an impression of Obama because he's just like, "Hey, I'm pretty normal."
Yeah.
But man, stand-up comedy is going to maybe get a little worse for a second.
Well, I think so.
It just depends on like. There will be plenty of guys and girls that just do the impression. They don't have any substance behind it.
Right.
But it really depends on, like, what your, obviously, like, your take is and what, like,
sure.
the jokes are actually going to be.
Just like, man, as white male comedians, Trump is not good because we have nothing to complain about.
Nope.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, boy, this is bad for biz. I mean, it's bad for people's lives.
Yeah, first and foremost.
But selfishly, I'm like, oh, God, I have nothing to complain about. Like, white America, fuck.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's really,
I'm sure you could take some more shrooms and then find something.
Oh, who knows? You know, hopefully I just get to use my brain normal and figure something out.
There's certain things I wish that would come from it that, like you know, some of these, like, blindside moments and behavioral things that he's doing, I'm like, I wish it would just... Like, he would just be like, I'm going to bring back crystal clear Pepsi. Like, things, you know what I'm saying? Like, things that were, like, kind of, like, a big deal, but then you're like, you're not going to actually do that much damage. You're it was all a show.
Right. I think, like, I wish he would run, like, a sixth grade campaign. Like,
you know what? Everyone's going to be required to have a Twix by noon.
just something like that. You're like, okay, all right.
And the fat kids get picked first in kickball.
Yeah. His Twitter, to me, seems like he just... does coke and then tweets what he thinks. Like, you can't burn the flag or you go to jail. Like, I don't know, man.
Now, I saw a tweet that, Carrie Fisher, confirmed ex-cokehead, right?
Yeah.
Princess Leia said that during the debates, because somebody had tweeted her and said, is he on coke? And she was like, for sure, 110%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's kind of...
I mean...
Although maybe she was like, this will get some retweets.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Also... I don't know if I'm going to use... I don't know if that's a guarantee.
Princess Leia
says he does coke.
I mean,
if there's one person you can trust...
She knows Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Clearly rational, current 2016 Carrie Fisher.
Sure.
A lifetime of Hollywood behind her.
That sounds like a thought that you would have to do a lot of coke to come up with. No, man, Princess Leia says the president's on drugs.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, what? That's...
I don't know. I just think he's just crazy.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to watch a lot of TV to, like, distract myself. And I saw that you... I think you and I share an obsession for the show Bar Rescue.
Oh, my God. I love Bar Rescue.
I love that show so much.
Like, because I just... did a road trip, and me and the girlfriend were going to camp while we went to all these national parks, but then didn't think about Utah. This was, like, a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's, like, gets down to, like, 10... at night, and I'm like, I don't want to stay in. So we were just staying in, like, hotels, and I got to watch a bunch of Bar Rescue. And
what do you love about it? She can't stand it.
It's just the It's just the guy walks in, and just ruins someone's dream. Like, that's all it is. Like, somebody, it's like every bar rescue is just like a middle-aged white guy who's like, my bar's name is Eleanor's, and then a guy kicks the door and he's like, shut up, it's called tits now. We're changing it. Like, and then the guy's like, but my, it's after my wife. And he's like, we watch fucking NASCAR in here.
Your wife wants you to make money. You're not doing that. Yeah. Shut it down. Yeah. Tits is going to be making money.
This place is tits. And then at the end, it's like, tits made 1% more that month. Like, it's always like
barely. So barely any, like, sort of fix up and improvement.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, but the host, but you watch because what? The host is great?
I don't watch it that often. I watch it when I'm in a hotel and I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Because they're all the same. It's all just a repeat. It is literally everyone. Yeah. He's just like, you need more sports.
I want to do a show that's because they did one episode of Bar Rescue that was on a comedy club.
Oh, that's right.
That
which comedy club? I bet I've performed there.
Yeah, probably.
I almost don't want to say the name because I don't. Personally, don't want people to go to this comedy club, but it was
what city was it?
Well, it's Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I haven't done that one.
Okay.
Shut it down.
It's now called Hoo Hoo Funny House.
It's just Theo Von on stage. Like, what do you mean? I'm in the middle of my set.
They kind of did that, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, like, they interrupted.
I love Theo Von. I'm just saying, like, it's a respectable comedian
on
stage.
Yes.
While a guy runs in and yells, shut it down. And he's like, I'm talking about being from Louisiana.
Theo's a guy I would love to see handle that, too.
Yeah. Oh, he would do great.
But, like, I want to do a comedy club rescue where it's strictly comedy clubs. Like, we just go and, like, rescue, like, because we've all played those shit rooms.
Oh, and yeah. There's only, like, five good ones.
That have a green room.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, like...
Promotions.
Yeah, just, like, it's just it's such an easy gig. I don't know, man. Like, I stopped doing comedy clubs because I just was just...
That's right, you did.
...sort of bummed out doing them. I also can't sit still in the same city for three nights in a row. So that's why I just do, like, tiny music venues and, like, one-nighters.
You love that. Well, you're kind of perfect for that situation.
It's more fun for me. I hate when anybody walks in and doesn't, just because they got free tickets.
Yeah.
And they're like, I hope it's Tim Allen. And then I'm up there.
Yeah. There are people that legitimately go out and go, and I'm hoping Roseanne Barr shows up tonight.
It's like, sometimes they show me the comment cards at the end of the night, and usually on a comment card, it has like, who would you like to see at this club? And it's like, Louis C.K. It's like, this is the loony bin in Tulsa.
Yeah.
Probably not showing up.
Also, like, as a booker, just fucking trust your booking. Don't book people who you think are funny, and then who cares if your audience likes them or not? Book funny people.
Yeah.
And then your audience will start to come based on the fact that, hey, that last guy was funny. I don't know this guy, but I trust his comedy club.
Oh, exactly. Yeah,
As opposed to listening to a guy who just wants Tim Allen. And he's like, he didn't talk about power tools. No, it was a woman with a different point of view.
It's funny. There's sort of a disconnect, and I truly think that that's one thing I get upset at some comedy club owners for doing, and I understand that they do it to sell tickets, but they put on a comic that is a TV star, not a comedian.
Sure.
And then they just talk for an hour and it's horrible, and then people walk out and go, well, that person had their own show, so if they're bad, then I'm not going to go see a guy that didn't have a show.
Yeah, I mean, the guy who runs Acme in Minneapolis is, I can't think of his name, he's fucking, like, just the coolest.
I hear that room's dope.
It's my favorite, and he, like, runs it so well, and he's just filled with advice, and he's like, I cater to the younger crowd because, like, the college crowd, because, like, and this club's been around forever.
Yeah.
And he's like, it took a while, but I cater to the younger crowd because they finish college, they stay in the area, they have money. Guess where they want to come back? To the place they had a good time.
Yeah, right.
It's a great model.
Yeah.
So like, oh, I had fun there as a kid. Now I have money. I'm going to go back there. So it's like cheaper for college students. Yeah.
Now I'm going to have fun and be drunk.
Yeah.
And not worry about the financial cost of the ticket.
It was just such a good point of view of, he's like, just watch, just, you know, cater, just be nice to the audience. Give them a good show and they'll come back.
it's always amazing to me when you go to a club like that, or like the Comedy Works or the Comedy Club on State Street, or any
the best one.
Any number of these clubs that do it well.
Yeah. There's a new one in Burlington, Vermont, is awesome. I just did it. It's nice. Like one of my new favorite clubs.
And like you see stuff like that, and you go, you see, you can do it. It can be done right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never stoked when a comedy club is attached to like a Hooters or something. You know, like it's in a mall. I'm like, damn it.
Yeah,
it's in a mall.
They're like, no, it's great. They give us like half off of wings after the show.
Yeah,
I'm just like, if you're super funny, everyone gets a free basket of fries.
You know, that's not talking shit, but I'm just always a little like, it's in a strip mall, isn't it?
And then some guy comes in and goes, this place is no longer Hooters. It's called Tits.
Yeah, yeah. Go,
hey man, not that big of a jump.
Yeah, actually, we were already leaning towards Tits.
That's kind of insinuated.
Pretty much, we just can't call it Tits itself. So we kind of.
This ain't a bar dedicated to owls? Okay, man. You're going to be fired soon.
No, it's actually dedicated to tits. Ow! Well, that's perfect. I'm out of here.
Now, you graduate with a biomedical engineering degree.
Correct. And I do just want to say some comedy clubs are great. And I don't
know. I know we only,
I don't want to just talk shit on all comedy
and
clubs.
And I know we only listed three, but there's obviously... There's
some really great ones.
Yeah.
By the way, I thought you were going to say, really quick, I do want to say Hooters is great.
Hooters isn't great. I did go to Buffalo Wild Wings last night, and it was a delight.
There you go.
Was it?
That's my Midwestern roots. If you put me in Buffalo Wild Wings, I'm having a great time.
Well, dude, I think, look, I went to an Applebee's when I was in Sacramento a couple weeks ago, and watch some football.
Guess what? It's the most fun.
Guess what? The vibe is great.
It's super fun.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell me one person who's walked out of an Applebee's and been like, never going back.
Oh my gosh, dude. I went on the...
Maybe someone who works there.
I did
unless you got like a $6 sirloin, you're like, what? It didn't come out like a Ruth's Chris? It's like, it's a $6 sirloin. Yeah, just... Be happy you can digest it.
I did a tour up the West Coast with Cornell Reed and Carl Hess. And me and Cornell Reed went to an Applebee's after a show in Sacramento or something. And we kept getting it's called the perfect margarita. And we just kept ordering them.
Ballsy move, Applebee's.
Basically just to go, hey, Cornell, how is your margarita? And he goes, I don't know. Perfect.
We drank just for the joke.
Like four of them just because we loved the joke so much. Both of us shit our pants the next day. We were driving. I don't know.
Commercial for that.
Yeah. Like both of us shit our pants.
Simultaneously?
No, just like, I remember.
Because
like,
that would have been incredible.
Like,
yeah, that's perfect.
Like,
yeah.
Like, Cornell, he's like, oh man, I shit my pants, man. Like, oh, you idiot. And then like a half hour later, I was like, we got to pull over. I just shit my pants. What did I go into? I went into an Arby's and threw my underwear away. I was like the only person.
In
I didn't
the Arby's?
Buy anything. I just threw away my underwear in an Arby's and left. And
by the way, that's not the first time that's happened in an Arby's.
No,
for
no
sure.
Way.
Arby's has like just, for whatever reason, it's always in the place nearby where you shit your pants.
Oh, yeah. God.
They have Hall of Fame there.
Jeez, we were like that poor Arby's.
By the way, there's a certain walk. Somebody must have seen you come in.
Oh. Yeah,
works
like,
there,
oh,
and
God.
Knew what was about to go down.
He shit
and was
his
like,
pants, didn't
and he got some sort of a glimpse of your walk, and like, yeah. and was like, all right, I'm on garbage duty tonight, but I'm gonna somehow delegate this to somebody else.
I think there was a perfect button too, where Cornell was like, how was that? How was shit in your pants? I go, I don't know, perfect.
As perfect as shitting your pants can be.
Wait, so how do you go from biomedical engineering? Where does comedy enter your life? How do you find that?
I started doing, I went to, just like any idiot, it's so weird when you're 18, they're like, what do you want to do forever? And you go to college.
And you're like, I'm 18. Drink beer? Eat Pop-Tarts?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. But
Bagel Bite Engineering? I don't know.
But yeah, my girlfriend at the time, she was going, she had like a real cool family, and her dad was an engineer. And I didn't know anything about engineering, and she was like, I'm going to be an engineer. I was like, okay, me too. so I picked biomedical engineering because I was like, maybe I'll be a doctor. And it's a good pre-med rec.
Yeah.
So I did biomedical engineering, and then 6 months into college, I did my first open mic. It was like, okay, I'm going to be a comedian, but I guess I'll finish college. Because it was my way out of Iowa.
Yeah, yeah.
To be to get a biomedical engineering degree, and then like, because my parents aren't going to like be like, go to L.A. We'll pay for it. You know, like, go ahead and throw away this like degree. So I just finished college while doing stand up like most nights, and then got a biomedical engineering job out here in L.A. and moved out here, and then treated that job like McDonald's, like just like didn't give a fuck. I was just here to do stand-up.
Now, just because I'm an idiot who dropped out of college, biomedical engineering, what exactly does that entail?
It's like mechanical engineering, which I don't know if that's a help, but like it's like...
you got to realize who you're talking to here, Brooks.
Yeah, no, I got it. Let's move on.
Can you put it in World Wrestling Federation terms?
No, you just take like...
It's like when The Undertaker kind of went bad from the dead.
It's, you know... We learn a lot about when how the Ultimate Warrior, when he shakes the ropes, like, what's the forces that are behind that?
Now
how
I got it.
Elasticity working in that vascular body. No, it's just like you learn. It's I moved out here. I got an emphasis in cardiovascular biomechanics, which is just learning about the heart. I wrote a long paper on the heart valve. Like, that was my senior, like a senior project. Wrote, like, I don't know, just a super long paper on heart valve, on artificial heart valves. So I got a job at like the best artificial heart valve company in the world, for real. I mean, they were a really nice company. They fired me, but I deserved it, you know. But
well, at least you're honest.
They fire you for
Tweeting things about the job I didn't like.
Wait, I think I remember that.
Yeah,
wasn't that kind
it
of
was
a
bad.
That was a nice little deal online.
Yeah. I tweeted like a photo of my boss.
That's right.
And opening the refrigerator, and I captioned it, "Looks like it's feeding time." I was already on thin ice.
Yeah. By the way, that's not even that bad.
No,
but
no, she was. It was.
Oh, mean. She. Okay,
was,
never mind. Never
over,
mind.
She's a little overweight.
Never mind.
It was a mean thing I did.
Yeah.
So when I got fired, I was like, absolutely understand.
That's when you know you did some like some stuff to get shit canned. When you agree with their decision.
When you go, well, I apologize, and I will just go. No, I don't need security to walk me out. I understand.
I don't want to make this situation worse.
But that was down in Irvine. I was working on heart valves, just doing durability testing on them, and I did that from when I was 22 to 24. Mm-hmm. And Irvine's, when you live in Iowa, you don't know that's far from the Los Angeles comedy scene.
Because I grew up in Orange County.
Yeah.
So when I tell people who live in the rest of the country, like, yeah, I grew up in Orange County, they go, oh man, so you just like go to LA like every night. I'm like, no.
No, it's 2 hours.
Yeah, it's 2 hours
in
with traffic. It's three.
Yeah.
Like it's...
So I did it every night. I would come up here every night and just hang out.
Wow.
For those 2 years, and just like go to What's Up Tiger Lily and like sit in the kitchen there, which was a show that like used to happen. That's great. It still happens, but less regularly, not in the same spot. But then when I got fired from that job, it was like a blessing because then I moved up into like Hollywood and got a job at Caltech. Well, offshoot of Caltech. I didn't work at Caltech. It was just like a startup company on Eyes, and it was really rad. And I had that job doing stand-up every night. Until I got SNL, like until that day.
Wow.
Like I was like, I never quit that job until like I got a call that was like, hey, you're going to move to New York. And I was like, oh, okay. Like I got to quit my job.
Is that pretty much how that call goes down?
Well, it's no. It was a call. I got called to be a writer for the show. But the call was so vague. It's just a vague hiring.
That's what I hear. It's never like a super
it's
confirming.
Never like, congratulations, you're hired. It's
no,
like
it was. I got a call and it was, hey, what's up? Move to New York. You're going to start at the least. We're not sure what you're going to do yet, but at minimum, you'll be a writer. And I was like, that is a maximum for me.
That sounds great.
That sounds fantastic. So I moved there like that week.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
it's such a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Damn.
And then I wrote there for 3 weeks. You write for 3 weeks before the show starts.
Yeah.
And then like the Friday before we started the season, I've been talking with like Lauren Michaels a lot, and then he just like called me his office. He's like, "I'm gonna put you in the cast," and I was like, "Very cool!"
Wow.
And then it was a train wreck. Well, it was fun sometimes.
Yeah, it was fun, right?
You got your
sometimes it was really fun. Sometimes it wasn't.
When they gave you time at the Weekend Update desk,
nothing was more fun in the world.
Yeah,
nothing was greater, and I don't think I'll ever have a higher high than like doing Weekend Update as myself. That was super fun.
That's an unbelievable thing to say. Like, I don't even know where that falls as in line as far as like comedic achievements and bucket list things. But like, that's such a heralded like amazing thing to be a part of.
Yeah, it was weird.
And
I
to
mean,
be yourself on it.
Yeah, I got into comedy because of Adam Sandler going on Weekend Update as himself, and then I was like, well, I got to do that. That's cool. You
it's
know,
unbelievable.
I mean, it stunk getting like fired and how it only lasted a year, but like, I mean, hindsight, you know, and the more distance I get from it, the more I'm like, wow, that was really neat. You know.
Yeah, it was a cool experience. And then when you look at, you can look at some of the amazingly talented people that had a similar like. Dave Attell was a writer on SNL.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
never got to be a really a performer, unless he was like an extra.
I think he might have done an update or two.
Yeah. And then Sarah Silverman was a writer for a year.
She was on the cast for a year.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus was in the cast.
She was on
it for a while, I think.
What's also cool, I think, about
Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of
for a year.
There's a lot of one and duns that were just kind of like that's
Robert Ori, the Lakers and Spurs.
Absolutely,
he was on it for two seasons.
Yeah, two seasons. Solid characters.
Here's like what my brain
does. Wig work.
Just a free throw man.
Yeah.
There's a photo of every cast member ever in the hallway on the 17th floor where it writes. And here's like where my dumb brain goes. Like everybody else in the I don't know about everybody else, but like some people in the cast walk by and be like Belushi, Chevy, you know, and like just look at like Eddie Murphy. I was the guy who would walk down the hallway and be like, I don't know who that guy is. I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah.
Like, that was my brain. I was like, I don't want to be one of those guys. Like, who are these? These dudes were on the show.
You didn't grow up on the show, really?
No, but I'm saying there's a lot of cast members who didn't go anywhere after the show.
Gotcha.
And that's where my brain was.
Yes.
As like, opposed to being like, I'm the next Belushi. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Like,
who
You know, but
I think it's cool. The further away you get from anything, you gain more perspective from it.
Absolutely.
And more appreciation for it. And what I think is dope is that, like, the update thing, like, you got to be in a lot of sketches. I mean, when you came back, and I think it was right after you had gotten fired, and you read, or maybe you were still on the show, when I was at Bar Lubitsch with you, and you basically read a bunch of premises for sketches that you had written. Yeah. And it was some of the funniest shit I have ever fucking heard. And it was, I almost had to walk out of the room because I started to get, like, genuinely upset that, like, how do you not make all of these? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of my sketches, you learn. You're not a fucking sketch show. You learn that, like, I had a lot of just, like, easy premises. Like, not easy premises, but, like, where does the sketch go from there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, where would we take that idea that you had? I don't know. You know,
but hey, that's where you collaborate and have other people jump in. Having an idea is a great idea is not as easy as it sounds. Did you write the Exterminator one with you and Edward Norton?
Yeah, I wrote that. That was an idea.
That was incredible.
But then there was these two guys there who write some of the funniest stuff in the world, Tim Robinson and Zach Cannon, who aren't on the show anymore because they have a new show on Comedy Central.
Sam Richardson.
Out. Yeah. Yeah, called Detroiters.
Yeah.
Oh, they're the writers on that show?
Yeah, Tim's in it.
Sam and Tim created that.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
And Zach, yeah.
Yeah. And, that's going to be great.
And another really great writer, I can't think of right now. They all created it together. He was gone before I got there.
So they helped you flesh that out.
I came up with the idea, and then I'd never written a sketch before I got on the show, which also, if you've ever never written a sketch before you get hired to write on Saturday Night
sketches.
Live, don't tell everyone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I just remember being like, I've never even written a fucking sketch, you know, and there's all these sketch writers that are like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
Like, what do you mean? You didn't have to make a pack? And I'm like, no, I just told 5 minutes of jokes.
Well, because, I mean, how did you even get on SNL's map? Or SNL's radar, I should say.
Yeah, I made a tape, you know, just like everybody. They knew they were going to have a big turnaround.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my manager was like, make a tape. And I was like, okay. And I made that. And then they just were like, this is really weird. I mean, no. Weird.
Why? Then, what were your characters?
I don't remember the characters. The impressions I did just weren't what they would need, you know.
Yeah.
They need good impressionists like you.
Oh, that's what they need.
Yeah.
You're doing like the Bar Rescue host.
Even more obscure. I was doing like Jake the Snake Roberts. Like, that was my celebrity impression.
Wait, but all he does is whisper.
No, and it wasn't even a good one. It was just Jake the Snake Roberts appealing to you to let. He was trying to get into come to your child's birthday party for money.
We do.
Yeah, I don't know. He was like, yes, look, there's no snakes in the bag anymore. The government took my snake. You need like a home if you have snakes, it turns out. He's like, I did him. I did Hitler. If he likes troll dolls. Like, if he was a big troll doll fanatic.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Which was so dumb.
How'd your Hitler go?
It's so bad. It was just like, just fun. Wait, before I give my hate speech, just going to pull out my troll dolls here real quick. You know, and then he just.
By the way, How's Your Hitler should be a game show.
Yeah.
How's Your Hitler? Jesus. Absolutely. And then the other celebrity impression I did was.
Joey Buttafuoco?
No, Gallagher.
Oh, jeez.
Teaching stand-up comedy, and he was just like, you're not smashing it enough. So they were terrible.
You're not jumping on a giant couch.
Yeah.
That's actually really funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
But I like those obscure references because it's especially like 15 years after Gallagher had the last special or something where.
Yeah. Either way, they had just gotten like a tape after tape of like, here's my Gosling, here's my Hoffman, here's my Bruce Willis. And then they were like, well, this kid's weird. But
you're probably still funny, right?
I think it was just like unique. I don't know. Either way, I never really asked. And then I did Montreal, and they saw me there, and they were like, "Oh, we should give this kid a chance at audition." Because I remember his tape. I think Seth Meyers was like, "That guy's funny."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the talent booker was like, "You should see his tape because it's weird." and then I just did straight stand up, and then that's how it went down.
Yeah. So for your audition, you just.
Straight stand-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that opening night like, hearing your name called and being there? I mean, is that a pleasant memory?
I'm so pessimistic that, like, I remember seeing they don't really tell you, like, that, because they do the warm-up. You do the warm-up before dress rehearsal. I even remember where they're like, "Hey, welcome to Saturday Night Live." that's my impression of Don Pardo. Here we go for this show. All I remember thinking was I didn't like the photo they used of me. That's all I was just like, everyone else was like, "Oh, look at how great it is." And I was like, "They made me look like a douchebag."
instead of Brooks Wheelan, you heard, "What a douche."
Yeah, I go, who would think that guy could be funny? They just tried to hunkify me.
This guy's a tool.
I do remember seeing that picture, and I was like, "Oh, Brooksy looks good."
Well, I had like a beard and long hair, and they were like, "Well, that's all going." And I was like,
"Shave it. We want clean cut guy."
I was like, "Do you want me to pull it out now or what?" Like, I remember when Lauren was like, "You're going to have to shave," like when he hired me
in
his office. No, and I was like, no deal. Because I had balls back then. Like before the show had terrified me, I was still like naive and thought I could be like, and you know, be funny around. Before I was scared of the show.
Yeah.
I was like, "Nah, dude, not worth it." And he was like, "No, but what I do, you know?" And I was like, "No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. I will shave."
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't think many people tell him no.
Probably not.
Was there a band or host that was kind of cool that you got to meet or kick with
almost,
you?
Absolutely. All the bands were the coolest. The first band was Arcade Fire, and they're like my favorite band.
Jesus.
Yeah, so that was weird. Like, I remember going down and like getting a little like, holy cow, because I'd never seen the Weekend Update desk. I'd never been there. I'd never seen the show like live, you know? And it was just like Arcade Fire was warming up on Thursday, and they were putting together the Weekend Update desk, and I'm like, this is weird.
Did it sink in that you're like, I can just walk up and be like, "Hey, I'm on the show," or were you still kind of standoffish?
I never felt comfortable doing that until later, and I learned I would write a lot of sketches for the bands I liked. I'd bring them in because it was just a way for me. Like, I wrote a sketch that the Kings of Leon played the Duck Dynasty guys.
It's amazing.
I wrote a sketch. So then I get to meet them because I wrote the sketch. That one made it on.
I was going to say, I think I remember that one.
Yeah, that was Kid Rock's Christmas party. I was always trying to write Kid Rock and stuff. It was Guy Fieri and Kid Rock's Christmas special.
Like, every week you're like, okay, for this one,
I wrote
Kid Rock has a cooking show.
Yeah, I have a lot of Kid Rock obsession. That is weird.
Well, I mean, he's kind of a caricature in himself.
I mean, I really am just blown away by the guy. Like, he's crazy. I'm fascinated by it.
You should.
Crazy people are fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kid Rock might run for president.
Oh, I love the crazier the better. Like, I hate it when somebody's like, "Oh, Jack White he's crazy." I'm like, that's how they should be.
Yeah.
I don't want him to like.
Dude, I was
you
obsessed.
Want your rock stars crazy?
I was obsessed. Not even rock stars. I was obsessed with Charlie Sheen when he was going through all that.
He was like Tiger Blood. I got the hippopotamus pussy juice. Like, he was just going off on all this. I was like, dude, I can't get enough of this guy.
Yeah.
It's so. And also, there was something about. I don't know if Kid Rock has the same flair, but like. When the crazy gets to such a level of crazy, some brilliance seeps through, you know, because they're so out there and they're saying so much shit that some of it sticks and you're like, actually not a bad point, man. No. Surge might be the greatest soda of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just fascinated by musicians.
You should talk with Chris Porter. You know, he's buddies with him.
With Kid Rock?
Yeah, like,
oh man,
he's been to his house multiple times.
Here was my dream.
He could text him right now.
Oh my God, I would love to see a show where Brooks takes Kid Rock around to all of his camping. Oh my God, camping with Brooks and you take Kid Rock around.
Here was my dream. Mm-hmm. So Bobby Moynihan plays Guy Fieri, and so they kind of, like, Guy Fieri loves Bobby's impression. So I played Kid Rock in this one, and in my dream world, I'm like, okay, Kid Rock and Guy Fieri are friends in real life, because of course.
I love that explanation. Yeah. Of course they're friends.
And I was like, okay, so here's what's going to happen. We're going to, the sketch will go on. Kid Rock will love my impression so much that me, Guy Fieri, Bobby, and Kid Rock will go to Guy Fieri's restaurant in Times Square and have a dinner together. Like, and
put that on your vision board.
Yeah, none of it went down. But yeah, I was just fascinated with him. The National, I got to meet, who are like, strangely, very happy guys. Like,
even for that kind of music.
Well, I wrote a sketch where all the sketches I wrote there were basically me playing me. It was just called, I think the sketch was Brooks Cheers Up the National. And and they were like, you should be writing sketches for the host. Stop it. I wrote a sketch where I'd been lying all season that I was best friends with the Black Keys. And then when they played like the final episode, I was like, oh, boy. just stuff like that. I mean, that was the coolest part for sure. Was like the bands for me, because I love music.
And that seems like if in 1 year they had Arcade Fire, The National, and
Arcade
Black
Fire,
Keys.
The National,
that's
Black
amazing.
Keys, Kings of Leon, Beck, I didn't know, was an angel.
Shit, we just saw Beck in concert. It was unbelievable.
His voice is crazy.
Yeah. Killing it.
Also, just like seeing these pop stars I would never see, and this being like, oh, this is a great, like One Direction, those dudes were really cool.
Nice.
Like Lady Gaga, I'm like, she's so rad. And
is she?
Yeah, she's very nice.
She seems like such an anomaly to me. Like, what is she?
She was so cool. I remember she just like...
Funny?
Yeah, I mean, great. Just talented, you know? I don't know about funny, but talented for sure.
She did the sketch with Timberlake, right?
He was there.
Was that year?
I'm sure that they've done something together before. Not that year. Timberlake was there. He was there. He was just a normal as hell dude. I remember he was wearing a shirt with like a leopard on it or something. And I was like, nice Jaguar shirt. And he goes, they're leopards. I go, I'm pretty sure I know Jaguar. He was like, whoa, new guy thinks he can razz me. And I was like, no, I don't. I'm sorry.
Don't tell Lauren. I'm not a razzer.
I remember being like a little bit like, hey, this is my fucking show.
Yeah.
And I was complaining to somebody. I was like, Timberlake's being kind of a dick to me. And he's like, he's honestly been on it more than you have. So
what if you were like, dude, I'm not razzing you. You're my favorite Backstreet Boy. Don't even worry about it.
But yeah, there's a bunch of cool people. Who else? Like,
was Hanks ever there when you were there?
No, he was not. But yeah, I mean, there was a moment where I was walking down the hall and Lorne Michaels was having a conversation with Leonardo DiCaprio, and
yikes.
I was like,
sure.
Would have had to really squeeze through it, and I just go, nah, I'm not even gonna go near that conversation. And I like took just a flight up, like I took like the long an extra 10 minutes just so I didn't. There was just some situations I was like, I don't even want to be near this.
Well, sure, because you can only imagine if like you walked by Lauren and Leo and God knows whatever they're talking about.
I'm sure it was just very, and then, nothing would have happened. I was just like, I don't want any part of this.
Lauren just turns to you and goes, Brooks, what do you think about the global climate situation?
I'm sure.
You're like, bad, and then run away.
I don't know. I did meet Paul McCartney. He was cool, and all I said was, because they just like turned into a hall and turned and like bumped into him, and he was like, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And he was like, hello.
What, you jizzed in front of him?
No,
that's what that
pretty
sounded
much.
Like.
All I said was, Rocky Raccoon is the shit. and he goes, thank you.
Dude, he is, I mean, it's, you know, he would come to Hollywood Improv a lot. Did you ever see those pictures?
No, I heard all about it.
I got off stage. I don't know why I don't, A, tell the story more on stage, or B, like, just bring it up every day.
It's
because
pretty nuts.
It's crazy. I get off stage, somebody goes, Paul McCartney's here again. I go, holy shit, that means he just watched my set.
Yeah.
He's sitting in the back improv booth. I go, well, now I need to walk by him so that he sees me and hopefully waves me over and we become best friends forever.
Absolutely.
And we travel the world on a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
And so I walk by and he goes, hey, Adam, man. He makes eye contact. He goes, great job. Very British, thumbs up. He goes, that was groovy, man. Great job.
And then
he goes, sit down.
No!
Sit down. I go, what? He goes, come on, sit down. He goes, let's have a drink.
I'm
I go,
excited for you.
He goes, yeah. He goes, what do we have? Having. I go, dude, I'll drink anything. I'll do anything to you. I'm very vulnerable right now. Like, what do you want, man? You're the Beatle in this situation.
Yeah.
He goes, let's get margaritas. I'm like, fucking yeah, dude, obviously. You know what I'm saying? Anything you say right now.
But now that you tell that story, it kind of bums me up because it wasn't the perfect margarita.
Yeah.
So funny.
We got to get it.
It did end with me shitting my pants, but the margarita had nothing to do with it. It was out of, but he was so, guys like that too, you're like, you're a Beatle. You should be a dick. You've done like, you're the,
You've done everything.
By the way, he had a presence, I'm sure you felt it too, of just like extra. There's a few, I think, celebs out there that are like next level shit where I'm you're not even real to me right now.
We had up in our dressing room, I shared a dressing room with Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney. We had Beatles Rock Band that we would play.
Yeah.
You know, because you were in our dressing room so much. And like, I think the three of us were like, which one goes and asks Paul if he'll come play with us? Like,
yeah.
And then I think we were all so new and terrified that it would be annoying we didn't do it.
Right. But can you only imagine?
Oh, like, my God.
Paul McCartney playing Beatles Rock Band.
I remember, so Springsteen, I don't watch the show anymore because it's like an ex-girlfriend. You know?
Yep, sure.
Like,
sure.
It just, I'm like, I just don't even want to think about it.
Oh, yeah.
But I asked Kyle how Springsteen was. I was like, what was Springsteen like? And he's like, well, he played Rock Band with us. And it was the Rock Band that I bought. And I was like, I don't need to know this.
And he kept saying, where's Brooks?
No. And then he was like, I'm fucking with you. I never talked to him. That makes me feel better.
Oh, God. I like that he knows how to push your buttons.
Oh, yeah. He knows that if him playing with Bruce Springsteen on my machine, I would be like,
your voice on Big Hero 6.
Can
we talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I took over TJ Miller's part, so I can't wait to disappoint fans everywhere.
Can I be honest right now? So I went in for that, right?
Oh, you did?
For that part too.
Yeah.
And no joke, dude, when I'm starting to like read it and I'm like, I just don't, you know, I know some people over there and it was like, you know, and maybe the voice match get close, but I'm like, dude, you have to have a natural voice that's in his vein. And no joke, I was like, Brooks Whelan would be perfect for this.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then when I saw you got it, dude, I was like, fucking so pumped.
Right. Well, that's nice. I mean,
you know, like you guys, there is a graveliness that you and TJ both have.
I was a little like, I don't know, because some people, like, if they just listen to my thing, they're like, oh, he's ripping TJ. And I'm like, comedically, no, maybe our voices are a little similar. He's like a super absurdist and one of my favorite comedians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely point to TJ as one of my favorite comedians. But I'm like, I'm not ripping him off on stage. Very personal material.
Yeah.
But then when I got that, I was like, ugh, it's just going to look like I'm ripping TJ again.
Geez. Look at this guy. I can't stop following everything he does.
Exactly.
I mean, pretty soon he's going to be in a Yogi Bear movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope you are.
But yeah, no, I did. I'm doing that. It's super fun. Voiceover is great.
It's the greatest.
Yeah.
First time I'd ever done voiceover. It's really fun.
Oh, really? First time. Now, did you do anything to change your voice at all? Did you try to create a character?
No, I just talk like this. This is the new voice. This is what Fred sounds like now.
And by the way, the show or the movie was so huge that the show's going to... I mean, that's a big deal. And it's Maya Rudolph's in it.
I mean, everybody's in it. You don't meet them, you know. You're just going and do it solo.
Yeah, but still, I would at some point reach out.
Hey, sure.
Maya, we're on the same show.
We've been on a couple shows.
Want to go get a perfect margarita and shit ourselves together and share a moment?
But yeah, that'll be fun. I've read a lot of the scripts and it's like, well, this is like a really great cartoon, man. I mean, I've read all of the scripts I've done, but I don't think there's a lot of episodes that we haven't done yet. And I'm like, this is actually really great because I loved the movie.
Yeah.
I remember really liking the movie and like literally being like, oh, I can't wait for Big Hero 6 to like a sequel. And now I'm like, well, I guess I'm part. Well,
that's
I'm sure
crazy.
If it goes to a movie, Teej would do it again. But I don't even know.
Maybe.
Oh, I don't. I mean, why not? He's the best.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
What is the most challenging part about doing it that you've found? Because it is like a new thing for you. Now, you didn't walk in and go, hey, guys, I've never written a sketch before, did you?
No,
I've never done a voice before.
No, but I didn't know how to do the papers. Like, you're supposed to like set the... You have a little music stand, and you have the scripts in front of you.
Yeah.
And they're like, you put one over here so you can go from one page to the next.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't know that. So they could tell pretty much right away.
That's fine. They have no problem assisting with technical things if you're killing it.
Oh, no. And it was fun. Yeah, it's super fun. And the guys who write it and direct it are so cool. It's like my favorite part of the week is going in and doing those voices.
Yeah. The voice of a cartoon, man. That to me is like the ultimate dream.
It's super fun.
And also on a show that's like got some edgy humor to it. It's like an adult, like adults can watch it probably.
I mean, it'll be cool for my nephews and it's cool for me. I love the show.
Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
And like you said, you wanted to be in a sequel for Big Hero 6 and that's like, okay.
I didn't want to be in a sequel. I was excited to see a sequel.
Oh, okay.
And now I'm like, I guess I could, like.
You're kind of in it.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah. It's weird. I was talking to somebody the other day about. Everything I've ever done, I've always like prefaced it with, this isn't that big of a deal. Like, no, you know, like I always preface everything with this.
Try to keep yourself humble that way.
No, but I mean, like, that way I don't get nervous. But
yeah.
I remember,
yeah.
Like, at Saturday Night Live, I was like, oh, shit. This is a big deal. Like, I couldn't talk myself out of it not being a big deal. I was like, no, this is a big deal.
Yeah. But you don't have to shave for Big Hero 6. You can be Brooks, full-on
yeah,
Brooks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're a voice on Big Hero 6. I just saw on your IMDb page that you're playing a part in a movie that, and the name of the part is literally Handsome Park Ranger.
Yeah, that was, I was like, can we give him a name?
But I just think that's cool because it's like, cool. You're Handsome Park Ranger. That's got to be a little bit of an ego boost.
No, it was... The star of the movie is Brent Morin, so it's not that big of a boost. You know?
Hey, that's nine-time...
Yeah, Brent's a nine-time guest on the show.
No, I'm joking. No, he's like one of my good friends.
Of course you are.
But yeah, it was just me and Brent acting together. It was just like a little day shoot. It was super fun.
But
yeah,
I mean, Jonah Hill's not playing Handsome Park Ranger.
Yeah, but Jonah Hill's awesome in the movie star. Yeah, I don't know.
Did you get to work with actual animals?
As the park ranger?
Yeah.
No, I'm just surly. I just remember being surly. It was just a day shoot. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was fun. I don't know.
You're very whatever about stuff. And I think it's a good mentality to have.
Yeah.
You're like, cool, this is a cool gig. I'm going to soak it up and have fun and then on to the next thing.
Yeah, I've learned to try to really appreciate things a lot more lately. Because SNL happened out of nowhere and I was really worried the whole time I was on it. I didn't really take a time. Also, I was in just not a great relationship.
Yeah.
And it was just like so.
It all happened so fast.
So much turmoil. Yeah. That I was just like, I really didn't take the time to appreciate any of that. Now when things are going good, I'm like, fucking enjoy it, man.
Yeah,
like,
mm-hmm. You have to. What's the point of doing it?
Things don't go good forever, you know?
And also, some of the stuff we get to do is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you have to, the appreciation giving yourself a little pat on the back and go, oh, cool, I did a lot of things right to get to this point.
Yeah.
And other people, I didn't just walk in and get this. There were a lot of factors involved, and I somehow broke through. So you got to be cognizant of that and be like, hey, good job, me. And then also, it drives you a little bit to go, I want to do that again because this will end at some point, and I'm going to want that feeling again.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the realization of just hey, man, I'm just sometimes I'm do I suck? And then I'm no, you don't suck. Yeah. You're doing okay.
Yeah. You've done some shit. And everyone needs to follow you on Twitter, not just because to stay updated, but your tweets are freaking awesome.
Well,
can we get some?
Absolutely. I mean, if you don't mind me reading some.
No, you can. I use Twitter. This is the only place I write jokes because I don't do jokes on stage. I just kind of talk, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's an outlet of the dumb stuff that goes through my brain.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Because you said, you're not a guy that really... I'm the same way. I'm not a setup punch kind of guy on stage. Right.
I mean, yeah, no, I'm not. I'm more of my life's in shambles. Listen to me.
Will you give me some Brooks tweets?
Okay. Sure.
Right. I don't know which ones I've done lately.
An IKEA employee just asked
I
was drinking. And I looked at him and said, be cool. And it worked.
That did happen. But you have to read the one before.
Oh. Girlfriend asked if I would go to IKEA with her. I said yes, as long as we could drink wine out of a squirt bottle while there. A deal was made.
Yeah, so I got hammered in IKEA the other day.
Why? Oh, actually,
I don't know. That was a runner. I was just drunk in IKEA. That was made away.
You got drunk and then went there?
No.
They have a bar at IKEA?
No, I filled up a squirt bottle with wine.
Oh.
And
mm-hmm.
took it in, and the guy was like, hey, what are you drinking? And I was just like, just be cool, man. He was like, okay.
He's at IKEA. Just heard a 10-year-old being scolded for farting in someone's mouth. Can't stop wondering how it went down. The logistics of it.
Yeah, that happened. That was close to here. I was just walking across the street, and some mom was going you can't fart in people's mouths. And I was like,
I want to know all the backstory to that.
These new age kids, it used to be you can't, throw spitballs in class. You can't be, throwing paper airplanes at your sister. Don't fart in mouths.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was
nuts. And quit peeing in your dog's butt. What else is this kid doing?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Twitter's fun. I like it. My favorite thing is Instagram just because I like photography a lot.
Yeah, you're really good at it.
Well, yeah, you
that's
are.
Not... I don't. It's easy.
You have an eye for it.
I have an iPhone, and it makes it. No, anybody can be a photographer right now. It's super easy. I just like.
Do you own an actual camera?
Yeah, I have a really nice camera, cool. Leica that I shoot with. That I like. That's my way of when I would go on the road and I would have to stay there for 3 days. It's so easy just to sit in your hotel. I was like, how about if instead of doing that, I go take photos. And mm-hmm. that way I'm not just depressed.
I got you out.
Out on the road. seeing what the city has to offer.
Is that something you would ever want to, like, is that a hobby? Would you ever try to monetize it? Or are you just like, hey, this is cool?
Oh, my God. Somebody wants to, I would love to monetize it, man. Freaking, are you kidding me?
Well, hey, if you want to buy any of Brooks's photos of Monument Valley.
I mean, it got me a travel show. We shot a travel show pilot that IFC picked up and then didn't move forward with, which is fine. You know, that's how most pilots work. But just like, I remember somebody pitched, they were like, hey, we have like a idea for this travel show. Do you know anybody? And then like, it was through Above Average, which is SNL's like, side project. Mm-hmm. And they were like, I don't know, Brooks is always somewhere. Just put him on it.
I mean, that's a great sentence. Brooks is always somewhere.
Yeah, I think I got on Hawaii 5-0 because I was taking Instagram photos of Hawaii one time. And somebody must follow me. And they were like, I don't know, put Brooks in it. He's already there. Like, I got a call when I was in Hawaii. And they're like, you didn't even have to come in an audition. Do you want to be on a Hawaii 5-0? And I was like, yes.
That's amazing. What was the part?
It was, oh my gosh, is the best. I just played a guy who found the dead body.
Oh, that's so cool.
Just like the opening
I've always
scene.
Wanted to do that.
Oh,
that's
so
a,
great.
That's a strange
you can look it up.
Desire of
I
mine.
I don't know what the episode is.
So you're walking around in like a Hawaii outfit.
I'm driving a VW bus with a girl who's my girlfriend, and then we're hunting for wild mushrooms or something, and then we find an old man who's been shot with an arrow, and he has a briefcase with money spilling out.
What was your line or lines?
My line was supposed to, here's the best part. My line was supposed to just go like, oh, you know, this line's before it. But the first take, we walk up to the dead body, and then I thought it'd be funny. I look directly into the camera, and I go, uh-oh, somebody better call Hawaii 5-0. And the director just goes, cut! No!
Did he not?
Yeah,
did he not get that that was a joke?
Yeah, no, but she was like, then she was a professional working on like $1 million. You know, there was so much money poured into that show.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, I cannot tell you how much this isn't about you. Just do your lines, man. Like, there's a lot of people here.
Right.
You're making us do another take.
You thought you were going to, like, break the ice with the crew.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Like, oh, he's a funny guy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I remember.
You could ask him back for another episode.
Exactly. I remember I finished a banana one time. I was like, where do I put the peel? And we're shooting in the jungle. And a guy was like, you just throw it. And I was like, oh, okay. Which makes sense. It's biodegradable. And then I finished a bottle of water and just, like, chucked it. And people are like, what are you doing? I was like, he said just throw your trash. Like, clearly I'm joking. But they're like, I don't think they get a lot of jokesters on Hawaii 5-0.
I don't think so. Scott Kahn doesn't seem like the...
I can't think of his... Daniel Day Kim was there.
Okay.
He interrogated us. He was on Lost.
Mm-hmm.
He played Jin on Lost, and he's a huge SNL fan, and
nice.
I'm a huge Lost fan.
Oh,
so
man.
We went out that night.
Kind of nerded
like
out together.
Question for question. Like, okay, in Lost, what was this like?
You dude, know, that's...
Like, all right, on SNL, what was this like? And I was,
dude, well, that's kind of the... greatest when that matches up.
That guy rules. He's just been living because he shot Lost and then he went straight to Hawaii 5-0. He's just been living in Hawaii for the last 10 years.
God, shooting. that's the career path.
Yeah.
To just do I only do series if they're in Hawaii.
Yeah,
like that, like that's on his rider.
Well, he's who I got engaged to. Yeah. To a, you know,
well, Woody Harrelson lives out there.
Who wouldn't? It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roseanne lives
out
there.
Yeah, she has a nut farm.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's not even a... I didn't even drink a lot of NyQuil before saying that. That's the actual truth.
Yeah, she has a farm. She just smokes a bunch of weed, and she chills. She's like pro-Trump, though, so she's crazy.
Is she really?
Yeah, I think
she is. Well, I mean, you're living on a nut farm. You're literally a nut, so...
I remember the first paycheck I got for, like, being in, like, a first, like, big paycheck, like, because SNL's not... You don't make a lot of money
right.
doing that. But the first one that was for, like, a significant sum for, like, shooting a movie... and how much taxes were taken out. And I was like, I get being a Republican now. Like, I understand.
This kind of makes sense now.
Yeah, I mean, rich people vote for like,
yeah, I kind of want this stuff.
Yeah, but then like an hour later, I was like, I was being selfish.
I do want to recommend that everyone goes to iTunes or somehow finds your album, This Is Cool, right?
Yeah.
And,
so funny.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Definitely was on a lot of top 10 lists in the year 2015.
Yeah, it came out last year. I'm going to put out a new one this year, in 2017.
Awesome. But see, that's good. It's like 2 years, every 2 years.
Well, I mean, I thought I was ready last year. Every year you don't record an album, the next year you're like, thank God I didn't record
it. Oh, shit.
It.
Yeah. The amount of stuff you tack on, not only to certain bits, but then the new bits, and you're like, God, this will be even better now.
Also, if I recorded it last year, it would have been a real bummer. You know, last year was rough, just going through like a breakup, and like I'm in such a better place emotionally.
Yeah,
I'm like,
you seem like it.
It would have been a real, like looking back on that, I'd be like, ooh, that's a sad guy.
You don't put that out there.
Yeah, it's really spilling all his beans. I'd rather watch somebody be happy on stage. So I'm like really glad, because I showcased it last year for like Comedy Central and Netflix, and they were like, you know, let's give it a little more work. And looking back, I'm like, they were very right.
Yeah, they were. There's a part of you in the moment, though, that's like, no, it's ready.
No, exactly. I had a bit about how, this is how dark I was getting, a bit, like, I had a bit about how I've never tried to kill myself. Who do I think I am? Like how that's never even been a thought in my head. And
wow.
I'm like, whoa, I must have, that's an ego, man.
And how like, cool do you think you are?
What a what a dark premise.
Yeah, you know?
That's not in the
I don't know if I wanted, sometimes I wish I was a fly on the wall. I definitely don't want to be a fly on the wall at the moment that you're like, this is perfect.
By the way, what's the segue? Like, what do you segue into after that? Anyway, so it was, traffic's getting nuts in LA.
What was this?
That joke didn't go too well. I'm kind of dying up here. Speaking of dying.
Well, it was talking about the worst. It was like the end of, I was just talking about the worst night of my life.
Yeah.
Like, which was when it all, like, all this, a bunch of terrible things went down and relationship ending stuff. And like, and I just like acted like a real psycho. And it just was like, I was like, I woke up in the morning and I didn't even think about suicide. Like, who do I think I am? That guy should have killed himself. Like,
oh my God.
It was just like, just so dumb. Like, I was just being way too dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, but so you were being honest with yourself at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Super honest, super real. And, you know, something I had to go through to, you know, get to where I'm like back to happy again.
Well, great. I love that you're back to happy again, because happy Brooks is the best Brooks.
It's so much more fun.
Yeah.
Being happy is so much more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be happy about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, people continue to follow him on Instagram, follow him on Twitter, get the album. And then if you see him in a national park, do some mushrooms with him.
Well, I don't do a ton of mushrooms. I don't want to put out there. But mushrooms are the one, like, me and my girlfriend are going to go down to Mexico and camp for Christmas, just on the beaches south of Ensenada. And we were thinking about taking mushrooms with us. And but then I was like, what if we get stopped at the border? And then I was like, that's the best thing to, like, if I did go to jail, that's like the only thing I would be like, what are you going to do? I try to sneak mushrooms into Mexico.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You probably look at him like, while I'm sitting in this cell, you guys give me the mushrooms back?
Oh, yeah. No, I would not want them in a Mexican cell. I'd be like, oh, no. So I think the decision was not to take them.
Good call, my friend.
Just go and be rational human beings.
And can people find you live touring?
I'm going to go back out on tour. I'm opening for John Oliver.
Oh, that's right.
Over New Year's in Detroit.
Unbelievable. He's one of my favorite people on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I open for him a lot, and he is truly the most humble, hardest working,
awesome,
cool guy ever.
Smart as shit,
but like. But fun, you know? Not like...
not a dick about how intelligent he is.
No, humbler than anything.
That's like, so rad.
Just can't...
And he loves you.
Well, I don't know about... He thinks I'm okay. He thinks he can follow... He has no problem following me, is all I know. He's a really nice guy, though. But I just open for him, and then I'm sure I'll go out on the road sometime.
So buy a ticket to see John Oliver. I mean, sure, John's great, but you're gonna see Brooks.
Exactly. Wheeler. I think my tweet was, "We're gonna flip a coin to see who headlines, to see who goes on first."
Perfect.
Well, thanks for doing this, man.
Oh, it was super fun.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to come on. I'm a big fan. I saw you guys are good at promoting it. I saw a flyer in my favorite coffee shop for this.
Ooh,
really?
And that's when I texted you. I was like, "Hey, I want to come on this."
Yeah.
I was like,
awesome.
You guys are over. You guys got some Los Feliz presents.
Nice, dude. Yeah.
Which that sounds like a new CBS drama you can be on.
Los Feliz presents. Yeah, it's just me skateboarding around, being like, "That's a lot of homeless people. They're not harming anybody."
Thanks, Brooks.
Thank you guys very much. This was fun.
Thanks, bud.
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.